This episode of Two Beers Till Takeoff is sponsored by No Days Wasted, a leader in the hangover supplement industry. Listeners can now get 15% off their next purchase by using promo code 2BEERS, that's 2BEERS, BEERS in capital, at checkout. Live life or your next trip to the maximum with No Days Wasted.
Hello and welcome to 2BS Till Takeoff, the podcast inspired by conversations overheard at the airport bar. Join Phil as he grabs a couple of beers and chats with interesting people from around the world, sharing expert knowledge and hilarious stories that you won't find in your guidebook. So pull up a stool and get ready for an adventure as we explore worlds of travel and beyond with 2BS Till Takeoff.
4 hours in a Taliban headquarters.
I had dog meat in Laos.
Was it golden retriever?
Smack a dirty old smooch on our beautiful fish right here.
He didn't die, but he fell down the side of the mountain.
Good morning and welcome to Two Beers Till Takeoff. My name is Phil and today's guest is professional photographer Michael Sadowski, aka Mind's Eye. Michael joins us to talk about his life on the road and to talk about his new book, Wonder Around Every Corner. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Hey, what's going on, man? What's going on with you?
Just grinding away. A lot of work.
Yeah.
I'm working on a few.
Are you coming or going from a flight, or have you been traveling recently?
I have been. I've been home for a few weeks, so I was just in Scotland and Ireland.
Nice. During fall.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Nice. Did you get a chance to do like the Highlands, do Edinburgh? Like
exactly that. Yeah, I flew into Edinburgh, drove, around the coast through the Highlands and into Glasgow, and then flew over to Ireland for a couple weeks.
So. I have an opinion on the two, because since you kind of just did them recently. So when I first did my first trip, I initially went to Ireland because my last name, I guess, is from Ireland, and I just, was infatuated with Ireland. And the last country I did on that trip, it was a backpacking trip for about 3 months, came back and I had to leave the Eurozone because I had 3 month visa basically, right? So I had to go somewhere else where I was outside of the Eurozone. And one of the areas that I decided to go was Scotland. And Scotland was never on my list. It was never one that I was like, oh, I really want to do Scotland. But when I got there, I was like, I think it's better than Ireland. Do you agree?
I don't know. I don't want to pick or choose here. I had like really good experiences in different parts of each country. So,
I'm not saying that I did not have bad experiences in Ireland. I've been to Ireland more often than I've been to Scotland. I just thought that the Highlands were more of what I expected Ireland to be. If that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, the Highlands are great. It was actually, I enjoyed them both more than I expected to, that way. I really didn't know what to expect. I from research and stories from friends, like I've been told it's great. But until you're there experiencing it.
Yeah, exactly. Did you get a chance to do like all the Scottish things, eat the haggis, try Scotch?
Yeah.
Have a Guinness in Ireland?
Yeah, I didn't. I eat everything, right? And I enjoy like just diving into whatever the locals are eating, even if it's just some crazy thing. But haggis, I don't know. I had a good haggis once, and then every time after that, it was like, kind of bland in like some way. So I had a nice one that was like really livery in that. I enjoyed that, but
nice.
And it was kind of like downhill after that. So I'm gonna kind of stay away from it.
Yeah, I've tried it. I'm good. I'll pass on to the next thing. So maybe let's start from the top. So becoming a professional photographer is quite an accomplishment. So can you walk us through how you developed a passion for photography and how you were able to make it your full time job?
Okay. Well, I started off, just out of curiosity. I was working as a retoucher, so I was still in the photo industry, but like more on the graphic arts side of it prior to being a photographer. I used to walk to work, and it would be like, I don't know, maybe a 20-minute walk from home to the office. And, you know, I started like getting in the habit of just walking around with my phone and just shooting like the streets of Toronto. And I really like fell in love with it. And I don't know what it just like really grabbed me. I ended up buying like a DSLR camera, like really like started stepping it up, I guess, with gear. And I just did it like every day, every night. At that time, I really became like a sponge for knowledge, right? So once I kind of dove into that, I wanted to learn as much as possible about it. So it kind of just started there, just wandering around the streets. And then, you know, eventually I kind of wanted to expand that beyond Toronto. And I went to New York City and I was like, oh my God, like, you know, there's so much here. And I don't know. It was just it was just out of love, I guess, at first. Then, you know, after a couple years of just doing this as like a hobby, I had no intention of like being a photographer. It just was just doing it.
Just a guy with an iPhone initially, and then
And I started getting like requests like from brands and stuff like on social media, like, hey, we really love what you're doing. Would you be interested in working with us on like X campaign, whatever? And then, you know, I got into that and I learned a lot about like, you know, shooting like product photography and doing commercial gigs, how to shoot cars and, you know, how to capture destinations to kind of highlight like their strong points and selling points. And then I was able to eventually like earn enough from that I didn't have to work at a desk full time anymore. And you know, there was a lot I had to learn there as well, like you know, like running my own business and you know, kind of like being an entrepreneur, right? And like trying to make sure I get the next job instead of like relying on people asking me to work with them. So.
Yeah, and I'm sure like also just knowing the value of your product initially working with like corporations, you're like, how much do I charge? Or, you know what I mean? Like that can be kind of intimidating.
Yeah,
right?
And then, you know, this is an industry that's existed well before I got here. And so there's a lot of like imposter syndrome that I had to kind of like work through. So I'm like really good enough to do this, like work, you know, alongside like all these other professionals that, you know, that have been doing this for years. And so, you know, but eventually I just kind of got over that and said, screw it, I must be doing something right. So
confidence comes in and you just, ride the wave.
But that kind of never goes away. I mean, I still experience that today. Like there's days where I'm like, what am I doing? What is this?
Hey, listen, Michael, take my opinion as a kind of market value. I don't know much about art, but I have to say that your Instagram page is, it's insane. It's like, you're very talented in what you do and your editing is unreal.
Thank you.
So did you always do travel photography and how did you get into travel?
Well, it was kind of, like I was saying, it was kind of random, like how I ended up in that field. I guess the photography that I enjoyed doing lent itself well to travel photography. But I got a few jobs with tourism boards and, you know, hotels and airlines, like right at the start. Right. And that kind of put me in the travel realm. And then I kind of just pursued, those types of brands further and made that my focus as opposed to working, you know, more like products and like, you know, like kind of like still life images on a desk or something. But I really enjoyed this. So like, this is what I kind of went for, you know, as like a moonshot right at the start as well. So
get paid to travel. Are you serious? How can I get this gig?
I mean, I think anyone could do it. You just have to kind of just kind of work for it, right? Like, get out there, yeah, start taking photos, and get them in front of the right people. And
yeah, sure. So I'm interested in around understanding the process of how you determine where you shoot. So do you prepare beforehand, or is it more of an impulsive thing, kind of in the moment shots?
Okay, well, it's a big mix, right? If I've worked on like travel campaigns with, with like marketing teams that wanted very specific shots at very, you know, precise like moments in time, that have like a certain look, like bright golden hour light, you know, showing it off in like a very like exciting, inviting way, right? And I have to stick to like those shot lists if I'm part of that campaign. And then there's other times where I kind of have like the freedom to do whatever I want. And then I kind of always like my artistic side goes for a more dramatic and kind of darker and mysterious kind of look. But that's like more my personal work. And it doesn't always lend itself well to like a travel campaign, right? Because I don't want to, like, they may not want their destination represented as looking kind of scary, I guess. But
right.
So it's a mix, right? Like whether I have like a very specific shot list or whether I'm left to do my own thing. And if I'm left to do my own thing, like I will research like, you know, certain like the iconic landmarks that the tourism board would like to show off and showcase. But then once I like have those kind of checked off my list, I do a lot of exploring and uncover kind of like some like hidden gems or like certain angles that like maybe like nobody's ever thought of capturing before. So, but amongst all of this, I try to take like these photos in like a unique way that, no one had thought of before. So whether it's like a certain foreground in front of like, you know, a big landmark that kind of draws your eye up into it, or flying a drone at like a certain angle, and I want to put my mark on it. So because there's a lot of postcards already, right? Like we don't really need to take like this like straight on shot that's in every gift shop like throughout the country already. Like I want to like kind of contribute to the,
the originality of shots that have already, for example, like the Eiffel Tower, just finding an original way to portray the Eiffel Tower.
Exactly. As opposed to like walking up to the place where everyone has always shot it from and just shooting it again.
Getting in line.
that sometimes requires a little bit of thinking and exploration and failure. That's what I strive to do, I guess.
Nice. So is that kind of the same with your editing? It's like, do you have an idea of what it will look like when you take the shot, or is it exploratory again with the editing? And I guess this is more on the, not on the corporate side, because obviously they have their vision, but more on your kind of personal stuff.
Well, I kind of, okay, depending on like any moment of time, I have like a certain aesthetic that I'm going for. It kind of changes over time, right? Like, so my work from like pre-2020, let's say, was like very contrasty. I tried to create like a lot of like, I guess like pop or like visual difference between like the bright areas and the dark areas. So like heavier contrast. And I used a lot more saturation in my colors. So blues were very like royal blue, right? And now I'm kind of like moving into a different look. Still similar that you would know that I created it, but
you kind of have that brand almost like that. It's like, I feel like it could be an Instagram filter, the Michael Sadovsky filter.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible, but
it's an idea.
Like scaling back the contrast, maybe desaturating the blues, maybe my photos aren't as cool overall anymore and they're kind of warming up a bit. So, but over time, if you follow my work, you would see a gradual transition. It's not just like bang one day, like something's completely, everything's completely different. So, but I also feel like every file, like I shoot, like, you know, comes with it, like the colors of the scene. Right. So I'm kind of like have to work with what I was given when I was shooting it. So if a building is like, you know, lit by a, like a red neon sign, I'm going to like really respect that red and make that red kind of permeate the whole scene. And so that photo will be a lot more red than like another photo that had like no red in it at all. Right. So, but trying to marry those, the, like trying to have those two images side by side and still look like they came from the same artist is like kind of thing that I'm kind of struggling. Well, not struggling with, but something I like, I work for. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So when I kind of looked at some of your work, the thing, I don't know why, but it came up in my head, like definitely more your recent stuff. It's almost like Batman-esque, kind of dark and gloomy, high shots. So when you get those high shots, do you always get those by drone, or do you ever get the chance to go up on top of those buildings or whatever that may be to get those shots?
Yeah, I mean, I shoot with drone. The drone's like last resort, I guess, for me, just because the quality isn't, you know, like that. Like, it's good nowadays, but not as good as my camera. So I try to get onto rooftops and, you know, windows that have like that view. And I'll go as far as to rent a room at a certain hotel and request like a certain room, and so I could shoot out of it. But I'll also like ask if I could have access to the roof. And then it, you know, sometimes they're like, what are you, crazy? And then other times it's like, sure, let's do it. And I'll bring a security guard up with me and make sure I don't cause any trouble up there. But yeah,
worst thing they can say is no, right?
Yeah, I've learned that, like, no is not a, you know, like that bad, right? Like, it's better than not asking at all. So
yeah, absolutely. Have you ever experienced any danger trying to get the perfect shot?
There's, you know, I'm not gonna put myself, like, you know, like my life in jeopardy for a certain shot. But I do.
You're gonna hang off a building.
Well, a lot of people. Okay, so I guess I'm pretty good with heights, right? So my, for what I would consider dangerous, or not dangerous, like other people would, but I'm not like irresponsible about it. So I wouldn't like, you know, hang my feet over the edge or dangle with like one foot, like, or do any weird stunts or anything like that. I mean, there's times where like I'm like on like a really, you know, like precarious looking like edge on the side of a mountain, but you know, I'm kind of like, what you don't see is like me kind of like leaning like away and like grabbing onto stuff, and I wouldn't go out to something that like there's a chance I could, or a good chance I could fall off. So,
okay, fair enough. And when I said danger, I guess also another danger that people don't maybe realize is sometimes when you travel with a camera, thieves, you know what I mean? Like things like that can potentially, have you ever kind of seen somebody eyeing your camera looking to try to
make a room? Maybe. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to, I don't know. I kind of just mind my business. I keep to myself. I try not to cause any trouble. I'm like, kind of like, if it's like a neighborhood where I'm like really like not supposed to be, I'm like really quick about it. And, you know, I'm also not aggressive with like people there. So I'm not like running up into their face and like blasting with a flash. But like, I think there was one time I was in Paris, and it was in front of Trocadero. I don't know if you're familiar. It's like this plaza that overlooks like the Eiffel Tower, and then if you go down from there, you're right at like the bridge, like leads.
Okay, I've been around that area. I just didn't know it's called Trocadero.
That area is like notorious for pickpockets, and I know what this, I know someone was trying to get me at one point. I had my phone. I don't know what I did. I took a photo with my phone, just kind of, you know, it wasn't like camera worthy, but so I was just shooting on my phone. And then I like put it in my back pocket. And then I saw this guy like beeline towards me. And then I just took the phone out of my back pocket and put it in my front pocket. And I just saw him just like make a U-turn really quick. And then 15 minutes later, I saw him pickpocket some other woman. And then he got caught. And he was arrested. So, but
I've actually seen that exact same scam. It was the guys, one of the guys, I mean, everybody who goes to the Eiffel Tower sees these guys selling the Eiffel Tower keychains or trying to put a bracelet on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, it was one of those guys that was trying to sell us, who tried to pickpocket somebody. I was like, hey, I guess maybe don't pull your wallet in front of those guys.
Yeah. You just gotta be aware. Like you don't have anything in a place where you can't defend it. So front pockets, always recommend everything important in your front pockets. And then if you have to put it in like a jacket, make sure it's zipped up. Or just keep it in a backpack that's like, people aren't able to like kind of like unzip or grab into from the side. So, but you got to watch it there.
Yeah. This is definitely some good tips. They're there for a reason, man. They're eating. So I guess before we kind of dive into it, can you tell us a little bit more about your book, Went Around Every Corner, and how it came about?
Okay. So it's kind of like, I would call it like a celebration of like all of my best works from the beginning of my career until, about 6 months ago. In the end, I was like lobbying to get more of my more recent work in the book because I felt the deadline coming and I'm just like, how about more and more and more? But yeah, so we had to cut it at some point. But yeah, it's kind of just like a celebration of my work from around the world. I would say since 2016. And you know, we tried to include like a little bit from every location. And I'm really proud of it, and I think it looks beautiful. I'm really critical about like how my work looks in print. Like there's some paper stocks that don't showcase it the way I intended, and this book I'm really proud of how it looks. So yeah, it's kind of like a visual journey of my life and over the last like 7-8 years. So
well, let's get into Q&A. Q&A. So, first question, hot or cold?
Hot.
Beach or mountains?
Mountain.
Bus or train?
Train.
Cats or dogs?
Cat.
If you could have a beer with one person from history, dead or alive, who would it be and why?
Oh man. okay. Well, first person that popped in my head was like Anthony Bourdain. So, cause I feel like he taught me how to travel before I knew how properly.
So yeah, he definitely, demystified definitely some areas that we were like, oh, I'm not sure about that. You know what I mean? Just, he was just out there just eating, drinking, having fun.
Yeah. I mean, before I got into photography, travel to me was like going to like a sandals resort and just like lying on a beach, right? But like watching his shows and seeing how he travels and then getting into like, you know, my own travel photography career, it's like it showed me that you can enjoy trips on a whole other level and be more like independent and explore and take the traditional vacation and just turn it on its head. So,
yeah, he taught us that, you mean you can travel without going to a resort?
I know, right?
It's kind of depressing to think. What's something you never travel without? And I'm just going to say, you can't say camera equipment.
Okay. can't travel without. well, everything I do is like based with based around shooting photos. So it's like literally like my camera gear, but I don't know, probably my phone.
Fair enough. Which country has the best cuisine?
Italy.
Okay, good. That's a popular answer on this one. What is your biggest travel pet peeve?
People crowding the baggage carousel.
Yeah, that's a really good one. Can you tell me your best travel hack?
Okay, if you're traveling with another person, and you book your flights, I would recommend buying or booking the aisle seat and the window seat, and leaving the middle seat open, because there's always a chance that like nobody wants to take, like no single traveler will pick that middle seat, and yep. If they do and they show up, you can just ask them to swap for the
just kick them out.
Yeah, because like I do want to sit next to my partner or friend, and I could be like, well, would you mind the aisle? And they're never going to say no to that, but there's like a good chance that no one sits in between you and you get the whole row. So that's usually what we do.
Do you have like, have you tested this theory out? Do you have a good record
every time? Yeah.
Oh snap. Okay, I guess I gotta try this. Yeah. What's the most underrated country?
Underrated. That I've been to, I'd maybe Poland, I'd say.
Nice. Where'd you go in Poland?
It's Krakow, Gdansk and Warsaw. And then like, you know, I drove the whole way, right? And so I stopped like everywhere I could along the way. But I think the food was great, and like, you know, it's.
Did you get into the vodka?
I did. Yeah, I had a lot of driving.
No, you have no choice.
You know, I sampled it. Yeah, pierogies and yeah, everything. And I thought it was beautiful. Krakow, especially.
Yeah, yeah, Krakow, the square, and yeah, it's like the castle, Wawel.
Yep.
Yeah, Wawel Castle is good. And your last name, Sadowski, would that happen to be Polish?
It is. I'm a little biased, so.
yeah, I mean, big Lewandowski fan, are you?
yeah, my great grandparents moved over from Poland, like, I would say, like, in the, you know, 1910s.
It's probably a good time for them to move.
Yeah, I mean, not going on over there at that time, so.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Where's somewhere you never go back?
Oh boy.
These Q&A questions, they're meant to push you to your extreme, happy and kind of uncomfortable a little bit.
I might not go back to San Francisco for a long time.
Heard that. Yeah.
I think I'm over. I've been there like about 5 times, but now it's getting like very dangerous for photographers. They're getting like robbed at gunpoint at like in the middle of the day for their gear. I have a friend who was robbed for like 30 grand worth of gear like last week. Like,
so, oh my god.
So yeah, I just feel like on the one hand, it's like kind of an overshot by photographers. Like I literally see the Golden Gate Bridge every day on social media. Yeah. I'm like, all right, like
every sixth photo is the Golden
and,
Gate. Yeah,
and I mean, like, yeah, I have some photos of it too, and I'm proud of them. But I feel like I don't think I'll go back. I think it's like it's dangerous, and because I've been there, I'd like to go to other places. So
yeah, but that's fair. Everything I've heard about San Fran right now is not great. I mean, we all see the videos of just people just stopping their car in front of another one, just smashing the window, grabbing all the stuff in the car, and you're just like,
yeah, it's like the Wild West.
What? How do I protect myself against that?
Right. So,
what is the best piece of advice you've received?
I don't know. I take tidbits from like a lot of places. You're really making me think about all this. I don't know. Someone told me if you really believe in something and and it's a little scary, but you love doing it. Just don't stop doing it, I guess, like something along those lines. It was like more of a friend butchering another
quote.
The way he said it was like, you're right, and like it should be kind of scary, right? Like when I was getting involved with like photography, I was terrible, and I'm like, what am I doing here? But it was like around that time, and it was very encouraging, and so I stuck with it, and then it, you know, it brought me to some incredible places, and I'm really happy now. So I would say that this really bastardized quote from the past. So
that's a really good one, because you think like, you know, kind of your passion can be scary, but also like travel can be scary as well, right? Because going to certain places, the unknown, leaving the resort. Oh my God, that's terrible.
Yeah, but like great things come on the other side of fear, you know?
Yeah.
Like a lot of my...
That's another great quote.
Yeah.
Or good piece of advice.
A lot of my best experiences have come from moments I was unsure about, you know? And so now like when I'm feeling that same type of feeling again, could be about anything. Like, oh, should I go there tonight? I don't know. You know, it's a pretty bad neighborhood or this and that. It's like I may end up getting like one of the best shots like I've ever got. So
because everybody's too scared to go get the shot, you take initiative and
yeah, like I
reap the reward.
I was feeling that way about like my first helicopter flight, and it became like, you know, this amazing experience, and now I can't get enough helicopter flight. So
I've seen this question, I guess, on the internet recently. Can you give me a movie you've seen more than 7 times?
I answered that on Twitter yesterday. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
No way.
It was Back to the Future.
Okay, yeah, that's a great one. And so does that mean you're a movie guy?
I am. I watch a lot. I'm a certain type. I don't know. I'm not really into like, it's funny, like Back to the Future is like the movie I've seen. That was like
classic,
kid, right? And it's one of those movies that'll go in like the category of movies that I can watch for the rest of my life. And then there's like a lot of movies that are like, okay, I saw it, I'm never gonna watch that again, right?
Yeah, Back to the Future has that rewatchability.
I'm not into like Marvel or stuff like action hero stuff.
Marvel has kind of ruined the movies.
Yeah, people right? are saying that.
Creativity's done.
I've never got into them. So like all the Marvel conversations I'm like kind of like removed from. But
I remember watching the first X-Men and I was like, wow, that's kind of creative. Like that's okay. Like that's pretty cool. I just didn't expect that there'd be like 10,000 more after.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of like what industries do now, right? Like video games are the same way, right? Like you get a hit and then you just kind of copy and paste like number 2, number 3, number 4, but it's like literally the same thing over and over again, and we just have to keep paying to play it again, right? So
yeah, movies have definitely been on the decline, so I think this question's kind of up that alley. What's the best movie you've seen in the last little bit here? I'll let you range it out, because I mean it's tough to find a really great one.
Last little bit. Well, I saw Oppenheimer. I thought,
okay, I haven't seen that one. Was it good?
It was good. It was like a really great movie, I'd say. But I feel like it's one of those movies that I probably won't watch again. So that's it was just like, it was a lot of dialogue. It was really really well written, and like a good lesson for history. But yeah, I was just like, I don't know. It was good. I took it in. I enjoyed it, but I'm like, I'll probably never watch it again. But that was probably the best movie I've seen this year. I'd say Interstellar is like, one of the best movies in the past like decade. So that I watch pretty often.
I've got a couple for you. I'm just wondering if you've seen these ones. I watched recently, wasn't really expecting much of it. Hadn't heard of anybody kind of talk about it. It was around the time it came out, And I guess I lived in Germany for a bit, so this one is in German. All Calm on the Western Front.
Yeah, I have to watch that. I was like about to the other day, but I have to be in the mood for like subtitles. Like,
yeah, you do 100%.
Like, I can't be distracted. So
it's just a very humanizing movie. And you never, and it's, well, I guess it's, you don't have to, I guess I'm not spoiling anything, but it's from the other perspective of World War II. So anyways, it's the first movie in a long time that made me feel something like, wow, like that's deep, very deep. And another one a bit longer ago, but Vice with Christian Bale, oh, yeah. Amy Adams. I love that one.
Yeah, I saw that a few years ago. I should watch it again, though.
It was so good.
I know. You forget it's Bale, right? Like, it's Dick Cheney, you know, when you're watching it.
Yeah, and just, I know obviously not everything is so super, like, as factual as is probably what happened. But you can kind of speculate, right? Halliburton, CEO, becomes vice president, and then Halliburton gets a bunch of non-compete contracts. You're like, yeah, that could probably happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is what happened, right? I mean, there is a revolving door between like politics and the private sector. So, I mean, everyone has a foot on each side or in each camp, I guess. But it's not surprising.
Yeah. What's your favorite COD?
Cause?
No. What's your favorite Call of Duty?
Oh, game? Call of Duty. Another tough one. I took a long break. I bought the last one, actually, the Modern Warfare 2. But I really like the first Modern Warfare 2.
That's the and, yeah. My favorite was the Modern Warfare 1.
Yeah,
I feel too. Like I've lost. I lost a few. My university grades went down quite a bit because of that. Game.
Yeah, I played a lot of that too. I mean. It was a good time to play that game because, like, everyone was kind of bad at it. So we're all there and, like, having a good time. And now it's, like, I don't know how many years ago that was. Like, 15 years ago?
2008, I think? 2009, maybe? Yeah.
So now, like, there's been people playing every Call of Duty from that moment until now. And then you get on and you try to play and they're, like, incredibly good. And so... It's you know, it feels a little more imbalanced now, and it's hard to get back into it. So now if I jump on Call of Duty, I'm just like, what is happening? Like, people sliding and jumping 100% accuracy. Yeah. So it's like, I don't know.
And also the in-game kind of the mini missions that you could play. I don't know if you remember those in Modern Warfare 1. Like the, like, all ghillied up where you, anyways, I just remember we just played those like 1,000 times.
Yeah, there was the one at the end of the game. Do you remember that? It was like you're on the plane, and it's moving like back and forth, and on veteran mode to get that achievement, you had to like run through and take out the terrorists.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's like it's not like a yeah. 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 I remember that one. It's the mission game. Yeah. Yeah.
I spent so many hours trying to do that.
All right, so let's kind of get back to photography and travel a little bit. So can you give me your Mount Rushmore? So I guess your top four destinations for your kind of the four destinations that you love to shoot or things that you love to shoot that you haven't done yet.
I haven't done yet. Okay, so I have to dive into Asia more. I'm working on getting a workshop group together for Japan next year. Nice. So that'll be a first for me. But I'd love to take like a bunch of students there and teach what I do and roam the streets and see Mount Fuji and all that. And so that's like a bucket list item that I'm working towards right now. I want to explore more of like, I guess like Eastern Europe. So Estonia is like, nice. On my list.
Yeah.
You know, Northern Norway, I haven't been to. And do want to go to India someday. So
Nice.
So these are the, I would say, variety there, but yeah.
Nice. If I can give you any recommendations, because you just said Eastern Europe is my, I fucking love Eastern Europe. Hungary?
Yeah, I've been there.
Okay. So you've been to Budapest, obviously Czech, like Prague. Have you done any of the Balkans?
No, I've been, not yet. So I'm working my way across there. So
the mountains in the Balkans are beautiful. Montenegro, the castle itself from, so Kotor is like it's kind of like in a bay. And the castle of Kotor is not much. There's nobody watching it. It's basically a guy in the bushes that's asking for money when you go up. Okay. It's not like a world, it's not a UNESCO World Heritage Site because it's just kind of been run down. But it's the view from the top. You see the city and you see the mountains, and it's top three views I've ever seen in my life.
Okay. I'll keep an eye on it and see if there's an opportunity in the coming year. I still have to plan this year out, so.
And yeah, I mean, and obviously, you know, the Eastern Europe, a lot cheaper, not in the Euro. I mean, actually, Montenegro is on the Euro, but it's just is dirt cheap.
Yeah, so. Everything's so cheap there. Even like you could take Ubers around like for like nothing. Like, great.
All right. Well, let's get into the story.
Story time.
Okay, so travel story. So a few years ago, I was in Indonesia and I was working with their tourism board. And I'll start it here. We were on a boat traveling through the jungles of Borneo and living on the boat. And, you know, we had like a little crew with us and they cook and everything.
Did you guys see a lot of cool animals on that trip?
Yeah, we did. It was like the bird sounds in the jungle there. It's like something I've never heard before, right? Like everything sounded so different and exotic. We saw like orangutan and the proboscis monkeys, the ones with like the big long noses. They're just like hanging out in the trees all over. So that was pretty wild. So while, during that adventure, I guess I got like food poisoning on the boat, and then we left there and we had to catch a flight to go to, forget what island we were flying to. We were going to, Raja Ampat, which is like a very remote kind of like scuba island. So we had to fly, I think it was Surabaya, I think. And then take a boat for 3 hours to the island. But on that flight, I was feeling like terrible, and so I took some drugs and they like, you know, knocked me out. So as soon as I got on my seat on the plane, I was just out cold. And
what did you take, like Gravol or?
I don't know. I got some stuff from the people I was with, and it was like a cocktail of like Gravol and, you know, some stomach relaxers and whatever, but then something like put me to sleep, but I was exhausted from like jet lag already anyway, so it was no problem. But anyway, so as soon as I got in the plane seat, I just passed out, and then all I remember is waking up, we're on the ground, and everybody on the plane was like freaking out, like standing up, applauding, cheering, doing cross and everything, and I'm like, what happened? You know, and they're like,
what did I do?
Like the worst flight like we've ever had. As soon as they took off, the plane like dipped and then like shot like straight down and then like corrected and then like, you know, but then the whole flight was like this roller coaster up and down. Someone said we dropped like 10,000 feet or something like that. I'm taking everyone's word for it, right? But yeah, and it was, and then like while I was still on that trip, I found out like that same airline, had a plane crash, and they like everyone was killed on board, right? So
holy crap.
So I have no idea like what really happened, but that was like, to me, that's kind of like my craziest travel story, and I'm glad I wasn't like conscious to experience it. So but if, that was like, yeah, the worst flight I was ever on, and like, you know, I wasn't technically,
you're in the right, you're in the right state of mind. That's perfect. Yeah. Were like people like puking, like what was it, pandemonium?
It was I don't know. I have no idea, to be honest. Like, I don't know how many people were sick, but everyone was very relieved to be on the ground in the end. So.
Yeah. Wow. I, you know what? I've never experienced a bad flight like that. I think I do like you a little bit. I try to numb it a little bit so I don't have to, you know, a few gravel or something like that before the flight is great to sleep. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. You know what I mean? Having a bad experience like that, it almost like scares you away from travel, because
yeah,
you hear what are the bad things that can happen when you travel? And they say, oh, it's yeah, flying safer than driving. You're good. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy flying. Like, there's an excitement I feel when I get on that plane, you know, every time. And it didn't scare me from traveling again, because I know like how safe planes are. And I always sleep through every flight. Like, I'm usually out. Like, I don't know, the engines start running and that vibration starts going through your body, and it just kind of lulls me.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy flying. Like,
and it didn't scare me from traveling again, because I know like how safe planes are. And I always sleep through every flight. Like, I'm usually out. Like, I don't know, the engines start running and that vibration starts going through your body. Feel when I get on that plane. Yeah, I mean, I enjoy flying. Like, the... Yeah, me too. I mean, I'm glad it happened, but I'm glad I didn't
right.
experience it. Yeah, I guess. Too. So yeah. Sure, you can find me on social media, almost every platform.
MINDEYE.
Mind's Eye.
I'm glad it
happened, and you can visit my website, mindseyephotography.com. And feel free to shoot me a message and ask any questions. I'm always there. Sure. You can find me on social media, almost every platform, MINDZ.
Great.
EYE. Thanks
for having me.
Thank you for listening to Two Beers Till Takeoff. Do you want free additional content or just to stay connected with the show? Then give us a follow on our social media platform. That means TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, all of them. Are you in need of podcast production services, video editing, or anything in between? Then look no further than Strut Sound Productions, the official producer of the Two Beers Till Takeoff podcast. Music produced by Alex Gagne. Check out his work in our show notes. Voiceover done by Viking Leo K. See you next week on Two Beers Till Takeoff.